The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast, joining you in the final day before the Brewers get started in the National League Championship Series. The Brewers and the Dodgers set for Game 1 at Miller Park on Friday night, 7 o'clock local first pitch. It's going to be an exciting moment for the city of Milwaukee as they're one of the final four teams left in the 2018 Major League Baseball season. They're going to be playing Friday and Saturday at Miller Park before heading to Los Angeles for three games. And of course, if they get four more wins here, they're on a wild, crazy run of 11 straight, but they just need four out of the next seven, and they will be going to their first World Series since yours truly was but 6 months old, 1982. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. We will not be joined on this edition by Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak. They are busy preparing for the big event getting underway at Miller Park again on Friday as the Dodgers head to town. They did. The Dodgers end up defeating the Atlanta Braves in four games of the NLDS. None of the five or four division series ended up going five games, which is kind of disappointing. A few years ago, they all went five games, which I thought was pretty impressive high drama. But I think that might have been 2013 or 2014. I'm not sure. 2013, I think. But it doesn't matter. That did not happen this year. Some pretty convincing wins. Houston swept Cleveland in three games. By the way, that negates any opportunity for the Brewers to have home field advantage in the World Series should they get that far. They will be the road team, but that we can talk about in a minute. And also the Boston Red Sox dispatching the New York Yankees, the big rivalry battle. That was a four-game set. Boston taking care of New York in games three and four. CeCe Sabathia, the former Brewers postseason hero, or not postseason hero, but regular season hero back in 2008, struggled in his outing with the Yankees, and it was the last game of the year for New York. They are done. Boston and Houston will get underway on Saturday night, but it'll be the Brewers and the Dodgers getting things started in the playoffs. Again, Tom and Todd are gathering their stories, getting ready for the big event. So here's what I got for you on this edition of the podcast. We got some audio from Ryan Braun. He met with some reporters before, actually during a workout on Wednesday out at Miller Park. They were getting set for more media availability on Thursday. Had not yet named their starting pitcher for Game 1 of the series. Craig Counsell perhaps being a little bit coy and perhaps still calculating his options a little bit, and but the team did work out on Wednesday. They did a couple players did meet with the media. Craig Counsell spoke to the media. So wanted to play what Ryan Braun had to say. He's of course the last remaining staple of that 2011 team that ended up going to the NLCS, falling in six games to the St. Louis Cardinals. Ryan Braun is the only holdover. Craig Counsell, the manager, was on that team, but now he's obviously still in uniform, but in a different capacity. The team has made really dramatic change since that time. Of course, even between this year and last year, it's been pretty dramatic, but certainly it's just Ryan Braun remaining from that 2011 team. So he talked about, you know, his role as a leader. He's been giving these clubhouse post-game speeches every time they clinch. Did so again after they defeated the Rockies in three games in the National League Division Series. Also did so when they beat the Cubs for the Central Division title on October 1st. And before that, when they clinched a playoff spot against the St. Louis Cardinals. So he's sort of the de facto clubhouse leader, I guess you could say. There's several other candidates to fill that role as well, but Ryan Braun meeting with the media. And then this storyline would be getting a lot more attention if the Brewers weren't where they were, but the top prospect in the organization, Keston Hira, he has been off to a great start in the Arizona Fall League. As I record this on Wednesday night, he has seven RBIs through two games. He hit a grand slam in his second game. I already saw somebody posting, I think the record is 43 RBIs in the Arizona Fall League, and Keston Hira already has seven. He's an infielder, a guy who was drafted out of college a couple years ago, their first-round pick. He is definitely one of the top prospects in all of baseball, but certainly the number one guy in the Brewers organization. I chatted with him. I spoke to him on the phone a couple weeks ago before he was set to leave for the Arizona Fall League, just about his season, his expectations, sort of how people mispronounce his name because it's a little unusual, and had a nice conversation with him as well. So this podcast is going to be carried primarily by these two interviews. But a couple thoughts first. First of all, find us on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes. Rate us, review us, let us know what you think. And happy to take feedback on Twitter as well. That's at J.R. Radcliffe. That's J-R-R-A-D. C-L-I-F-F-E. Also want to let you know that the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast is brought to you today by Century Foods. They are not only celebrating Milwaukee's run for the pennant with the rest of us, but also 65 years of providing Wisconsin families with all their tailgating needs, including the best meat in town. Lots of Lots of tailgaters going to be out there on Friday and Saturday, so good place to stop would be Century. Pick up your brats, your burgers, whatever it is you need, because it's going to be a full house. It's going to be loud. It's going to be an amazing all-day event on Friday in Milwaukee. Century is your place to go. So yes, we now have some sponsorship here on the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. We've had a nice year, but can always use more feedback and more ratings and reviews on iTunes, and or, you know, if you just want to find this podcast, Google Play has it, Stitcher has it. You can find it, of course, at jsonline.com as well as all the coverage from Tom, Todd, myself. I've been adding to the coverage where possible, been keeping up with the things you need to know as you get prepared for the NLCS and a few other fun trinkets as well. So we're going to start with Ryan Braun. He met again with reporters on Wednesday when the Brewers were working out at Miller Park 2 days before the start of the NLCS. Here is Ryan Braun.
It's muggy today, isn't it? Oh, humid. Does it feel humid to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we got to enjoy our last day of warm weather here, because I know that the weather changes pretty drastically tomorrow. So yeah. Yesterday was 80, today's about 75, and I think the high tomorrow is maybe 45. So, you know, it's a non-factor for us because of the roof, but I think we've been fortunate to have such nice weather for our office.
What's your excitement level right now, Ryan?
It's a 10. I can't wait. You know, I think all of us here feel the same way. I think we're all just having so much fun right now. It's such a special opportunity. I think we all just feel so thankful, so blessed, and full of gratitude that we're in this position. It's really fun. For me, obviously, I've played in this league for a long time. I know this doesn't come around every year. And I'm just enjoying it and having so much fun with it.
You saw it was Dodgers. Is that kind of a dream matchup, like when you think back to being a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait. I think, I grew up a Dodger fan, live in LA in the offseason. It's always such a special place for me to play, and as well for Mike Moustakas, for Christian Yelich, for Mark Atanasio. There's a lot of LA connections on our team, and the weather obviously will be beautiful, which is nice. So I'm really excited. I know everybody else is as well.
There was a time not too long where you almost were part of that organization. Being back in the playoffs with this team, is that more special than if you would have been with someone else?
Yeah, I mean, I said that at the time, that it would be more meaningful to me to eventually win here than to go anywhere else and win multiple championships. And I meant it. I've obviously been here for so long. I've been through so much here in the city. I have such a special connection to the city, to the fans, to the organization. I honestly didn't think we'd be back in this position as quickly as we are, and I don't think anybody else did either. That's a tribute to everybody here that we've made it back here as quickly as we have. And, you know, again, for all of us, we're just so excited about the opportunity and really just embracing everything that comes with it.
As a guy that's been in this position before, were you kind of impressed with the way some of the guys who've never been through this handled that first round?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and not only the first round, for us, the playoffs started that last day in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, we've gone on an 11-game winning streak, and we've approached every one of those days with the understanding that it was a must-win. We approached that third game in Colorado the same way. I think it was, you know, so important for us to come out, put the pressure on them, bring the fight to them, score early. But everybody here has handled it so well, especially all our relievers who have basically zero postseason experience, to see all of those guys continue to throw the ball so well. A lot of guys contributing offensively, just really doing a lot of things well. It's been impressive, and it's encouraging moving forward, because one of the biggest challenges when you play in games like this is always controlling your emotions. And unless you've been through games like we've now played for the last couple weeks, there's nothing you can lean on to say, I've been through that before and I know what to expect. So, you know, again, it's been impressive. It's encouraging. I think for all of us, we'll lean on that experience as we play, you know, some highly energized, intense baseball for the next, hopefully, couple weeks.
All right, Ron. I was going to say, after dealing with, you know, some health stuff throughout the year, and I think within the last final 2 weeks, the back, you know, there was a game or two. It seems like you're really in a good, healthy spot right now. I'm wondering if you feel like that just sort of came together right, just how relieved you are to feel really good when the game's being the most.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think as you get older, for everybody, it's harder to stay healthy. But I also think you feed off the energy of where we're at. You know, I think I told you guys, but when I woke up, it's really that last day in Pittsburgh, first day in St. Louis, I felt really good. I felt excited. I felt energized, I think. Just really look forward to playing baseball, and when you have that added adrenaline because of the importance and intensity of the games, it helps the body feel better. But I would say, knock on wood, right now I feel better than I have all year. I probably took the best batting practice I've taken all year. I feel really good, and I feel fortunate and thankful that I'm in this position health-wise. I never take it for granted. But I do think for everybody, when you have the adrenaline that's added this time of the year, it helps you feel better physically. And I feel like I'm going on 25, I'm 35 right now, so I feel good.
Wasn't the last little bout, wasn't it like very precautionary? It wasn't a big deal, but you just have learned over time, like when something feels a certain way, to sort of back off, because it'll pay dividends in the coming weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, constantly communicating with counts, and he understood the importance and significance of trying to have me healthy down the stretch. You know, he knows when I'm right, I still play this game at a really high level. So part of it was him taking the decision out of my hands to say, we want to give you a couple days off. We want to do everything we can to try to get you 100% down the stretch. And it's worked out because obviously I've played my best baseball here the last 2 weeks when it's mattered most. So, yeah, for sure. I think as you get to a point where you start to feel things, it makes sense to take that precaution, knowing where we were at in our season and the importance of the games that were coming up.
Ryan, as the last guy from 2011, did you say anything to your teammates before the LDS about how special it was going to be here? Because you're the only guy that had that, well, counts, but he's the manager, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've had so many conversations with everybody here. You know, all these guys obviously look to me for guidance and leadership, and talk to me about what to do, how they should go about their business, what they can do to try to maintain their routines, what to expect as far as tickets and logistics and travel and all of the things that come up during the postseason that you don't deal with during the regular season, including media and introductions. And there's a lot of things that can alter guys' routines. So a lot of us is trying to prepare guys for everything that's to come that we don't deal with every day during the regular season. I'm not the only one. Obviously, Lo Kane, Curtis Granderson, Moose, Soria. We have quite a few guys that do have postseason experience, so everybody's able to help. But obviously, a lot of guys have come to me, and I feel fortunate that I've been through it so that I can give them some advice and some guidance.
You guys have the best record in the National League, home field advantage, and the NLCS, and there are still outsiders that kind of look at the Brewers as an underdog. Is that kind of laughable to you, or do you kind of embrace that?
I like the position we're in. You know, we've been in that position all year, I think. Entering spring training, nobody thought we had a chance to win the division. We did that. Nobody thought we'd have a chance to do much damage in the postseason, and we just swept in the first round. The Dodgers are obviously an incredibly talented team. They've been in this position. I think this is their third straight NLCS and the fourth in the last 5 or 6 years. So there's a reason they're favored, but I really like where we're at, and I think we all feel confident about the way we're playing right now.
What are some of those early memories you have of the Dodgers? What are some of those first?
I remember all the consecutive rookies of the year. It's kind of when I really was old enough to start to get it and to follow the team closely with Piazza and Karros and Hideo Nomo. I just remember seeing all those guys play and seeing how exciting it was to see so many young guys come up year after year after year that were so good at baseball.
In this series, you figure you're going to see Clayton Kershaw a lot. What makes him so difficult when you face him?
I think the thing that stands out to me first and foremost is the way he competes. You know, to me, he's the greatest pitcher of our generation and on the short list of greatest pitchers of all time. And it starts with the way that he competes night in, night out, whether he has his best stuff or not. From the first pitch to the last, you know that you're in for a battle when you face him. And then obviously the pure stuff is really good. I think people make a big deal about his fastball velocity being down. But he's probably a better pitcher than he was when he was younger, and the velocity on his slider hasn't decreased at all. So for me, he's as good and as tough as he's ever been, and it starts with his level of competitiveness, which is unique and special.
It's not just him in the rotation either. It's Ryu, and you got Mueller as well. I mean, they can come at you a lot of different ways too.
Yeah, I mean, all their starters have thrown the ball really well, I think. We recognize we have our hands full. We recognize it's going to be difficult with their starters. But we have a lot of confidence in our pitchers as well. I know our starters don't get any love, but if you look at what these guys have done, Julis threw an incredible game for us at Wrigley, a great game for us here against the Rockies in the first round. Wade Miley went to Coors Field against a lineup that crushes lefties and shut them down for 5 innings. So our starters have quietly been getting the job done as well. But for us as an offense, we know we're not going to get a ton of opportunities against those guys, so we've talked about the importance of trying to cash in the opportunities we do get.
One thing that could be big in the series is they have some good lefties, and Yelich just hits lefties. When you watch him do that, what stands out to you about his approach and just the results he gets in situations where maybe he's not supposed to get a lot of results?
Yeah, I mean, Yelich hits lefties, righties, starters, relievers, velocity, off-speed. There's nothing he doesn't hit. He's such a great pure hitter that it doesn't surprise me. I think, it's obviously challenging for lefties to hit other quality lefties, but we've seen it time and again all year. He's just elevated his game to a level where there's very few players on the planet that are as good as he now is at this game. So it doesn't surprise me to see the success he's had against left-handed pitchers. We've seen it all year, and frankly, we expect it to continue this series.
Ryan, because nobody knew when they stripped the team down in 2015 how long it would take to get back here, has that made it extra special for you? Because you were a little bit more on the clock than some other guys in your career. The younger guys probably said, oh, we'll be back every year. But you knew better how hard it was to get back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know I'm not going to play this game forever, and obviously you want an opportunity to get back in this position. For all players, this is when baseball is most enjoyable. I love the emotion and the intensity of these games, so I didn't know if we'd have an opportunity to get back here at all, frankly, during my tenure as a Brewer. So it does make it that much more meaningful and special to me, and I think for everybody else that's been here for a while as well.
Your clubhouse speech after a couple of wins in Colorado has gained, cult status on social media. People just say, here's the win one for the Gipper of all time. Was that extemporaneous, or did you kind of know what you wanted to say?
Oh, no, that was the spur of the moment. You know, I think that the first speech I gave in a big moment, obviously, was after the St. Louis win, and I think everybody's waiting for me to talk when we get those celebrations, and obviously it's something that I enjoy, and it's just cool to see everybody respond, see all the boys fired up, and I always say you should embrace fully every time you get an opportunity to celebrate, because you get those opportunities so rarely. It seems like everybody's kind of waiting for me to say something for the celebration to really get going. So it's fun for me, but the most enjoyable part is seeing the reaction from all the boys.
Yeah, some of the guys said they were ready to charge through a wall. They would have put a brick wall there. They said that was a General Patton thing. That must feel cool to get that response.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fun. You know, we're all really enjoying this, and that's definitely a cool part of this for me as well for everybody else.
We move now to my interview with Keston Hira. Again, this was a couple weeks ago before the start of the Arizona Fall League, the top prospect in the Brewers organization. I know we're thinking about the Brewers in 2018, but the future's got some interesting players to talk about as well. Keston Hira probably not going to be in the equation for 2019, but he is definitely somebody to be on the radar. He's trending toward being one of the top 10 to 15 prospects in all of baseball next year, so he is definitely somebody to get to know. He's a California guy and was drafted again in the first round by the Brewers a couple of years ago, and now his career is well underway. He has had a lot of success at the minor league level. Here's my interview with Keston Hira. My guest is Keston Hira. He's the top prospect in the Milwaukee Brewers organization. He'll be competing in the Arizona Fall League starting in October, and right now he's in that in-between time after the Biloxi Shuckers competed in the Southern League Championship game. Keston, though, first question, you are a UC Irvine guy. They are the Anteaters, one of the many great California college mascots out there. Is the Anteaters number one in your mind, or are there a couple others out west that that should get that honor of the best college mascot?
Oh, I mean, definitely got to go with the Anteaters. You know, being there for 3 years and not just learning more about, you know, the school and all that, but Anteaters definitely make UC Irvine unique and stand out in that way. So I got to go with Peter the Anteater, Sam the Snout. That's us.
Who are the top sort of contenders for that besides you guys? Then you've got the Banana Slugs are out there out west, right?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that one. Banana Slugs. What else is there? I don't know. I mean, yeah, none. And that really, you know, come to mind. So that obviously means, you know, the Anteaters are in the top spot.
I'm curious about your attitude being the top ranked prospect in the organization. Is that sort of a stressful thing to you? Because you're going to be dealing with more attention from the media and maybe from fans than maybe your teammates do. Or is it maybe less stress because you know this organization is going to do everything it can to make sure that you succeed? Do you? I'm sure you try not to pay attention to that, but how does that status impact you?
Personally, I mean, I really haven't had a huge impact on it. I mean, it hasn't really changed the way how I play my game or how I go about my business. Away from the field, it's kind of just a title that, you know, you just got to live with. And I think does add pressure, maybe a little bit, but for the most part, I'm not thinking about that. And just trying to go out, you know, win some baseball games and, you know, play the best they can.
One of the things a lot of people were concerned about when you were drafted is that there was a chance you might need, you know, some pretty significant elbow surgery. And then there was a lot of discussion about that and when you could play the field and everything. When you found out that you weren't going to have to do the surgery, that you could sort of rehab through it, was that a relief for you, or did that actually make things tougher? Because now the rehab process is a little different. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a little more rigorous, maybe something you have to pay more attention to. How did you receive that news? How did that impact you?
No, I was stoked that, you know, I didn't have to get any surgery or anything like that. I found out right before the draft that it seemed to be all healed and, looked like a healthy UCL. So once that happened, you know, everything kind of just fell into place for the draft-wise, of course. And then But yeah, I mean, you know, being able to avoid, you know, Tommy John surgery, you know, that's a huge relief for me, I feel, because, you know, that's at least a year off of, you know, rehabbing and then, you know, re-strengthening it again and all that. So, you know, I was just happy to be able to, you know, do the rehab I did, you know, the past year or two and, you know, get back on the field this following year and, you know, play a majority of the games at second base. So I was happy about that.
You got a chance to compete a little bit in spring training with the Brewers and then had some success. I'm curious if that came as a surprise to you. That seems like it'd be a pretty daunting task. And then you come out there and hit better than 400. So clearly you weren't too daunted. How did you sort of take in that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure what to expect. Obviously, you know, the game's going to be played at a higher level and, you know, a lot of talented players, you know, from in the big leagues or, in the minor leagues as well. But I mean, I just went in there, you know, going open-minded, you know, trying to learn as much as I can from, you know, the big league players or the coaching staff up there and, you know, just have fun with it. So, you know, when the time came where I came in, you know, what fourth or fifth inning and, and had some pinch hits, and that's really when you kind of just relax and just enjoy the moment. You know, you're playing against big leaguers that you've seen on TV growing up. So it's definitely, you know, fun. It's a real moment. But, you know, in the end, it's just, you know, playing the game that you've always played. And, you know, it's the same. It's played the same way, just, you know, maybe a little bit better stuff.
So then you go to Carolina. Obviously, you were comfortable right away, and you're sort of acclimating to second base, you know, playing more reps in the field at that point. So what were some of the things that enabled you to do that, that kept it? Because I know with the injury and everything, that was something you were thinking about. What were you able to do at Carolina that enabled you to just get off to a hot start right off the bat?
Well, actually, you know, it took me a while to get going. I think the first month, you know, I struggled a little bit at the plate. I think it was more of just, you know, just learning new things. You know, it's my first full season. So I think in the very beginning when, you know, I wasn't doing too well, I was kind of being a little bit too hard on myself when, you know, I knew there was going to be at least 130 more games to be played or and so forth. So, you know, I went into Carolina with a little bit of a sore elbow. So that first month I was held to DHing. I wasn't able to play second base. So I think also part of that, you know, kind of got a little bit in my head where, you know, I was looking forward to playing second base and had a little bit of elbow issues at that time. But I think, you know, just looking back at it, it was just a big learning experience for me to, you know, to play that whatever happens that day, you know, flush it, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, the next day is a new day where you can, you know, control where your successes and failures and all that. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, I had a good time in, you know, Carolina. You know, the atmosphere was really fun and we had a great group of players and coaching staff over there. So, once I started to hit well and you see the ball well, you know, it just made it even more fun.
You obviously had some big moments this year, got promoted to Biloxi, got to compete with the team all the way to the very end of the championship series. What's one or two? I know you had a big home run in the championship series, but as you look back on this year, what are the one or two moments you've had that you're really going to take away from this first full season?
One of them was definitely clinching the first half with Biloxi. You know, that was, you know, a crazy game where Zach Brown nearly had a perfect game and then almost no hitter going all the way to the very last out. So it was, that was very exciting. And, you know, should be able to celebrate with, you know, with all the players and all the team, you know, that was really fun, an experience that, you know, I'm not going to forget. You know, I mean, I think just in general, just understanding, you know, how my body works and, you know, what it takes to play, you know, the full season. You know, I was fortunate enough to play the majority of the game. So, you know, I was happy about that. And, you know, looking forward, I think that's, you know, something that I'm going to take into account to, you know, future seasons.
You mentioned Zach Brown. I'm curious if we could get a little scouting report on him. He's the Brewers minor league pitcher of the year and obviously had a very good season. What can people expect if they go watch Zach Brown pitch a game?
Yeah, Zach Brown was, you know, unreal for us this year. You know, he's one of the biggest competitors I've ever met, and you know, when he's on the mound, he's looking to attack you, you know, with every single pitch. You know, keep you on your toes where you're not sure what's coming. You know, that fastball or you know, that curveball. Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely, you know, fun to watch, and you know, we're pretty confident, you know, when Zach Brown was on the mound that we're going to come out at the end of the day with the win. So it's always a good feeling to have that, you know, as a player, you know, in the lineup or on the team, just someone that competes, you know, every single day and gives it his all.
What's your schedule now? Because the season's over and the fall league kicks into gear in, you know, October. What have you? What's sort of the, you know, the schedule for you in the meantime?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of relaxing. Get a week or two off of baseball, where, you know, at the same time I have to also stay kind of fine tuned for, you know, the fall league, but, you know, just enjoying time with the family and, you know, seeing some friends, you know, I haven't seen for, you know, 6 months or so. So, just enjoying my time out in California for a little bit and then, head back to Arizona and get back to work.
I read that you got to know Nolan Arenado a little bit, I think when you were in college, cause I think he trained close to Irvine. What were your experiences with him?
Oh, he's an unbelievable player. Yeah, he when I was playing at Irvine, he would come out to the field before practices and, you know, hit batting practice and take ground balls. He's from Orange County, so it was fairly close for him to, you know, to use our facilities and whatnot. But just watching him, you know, go through his routines and you know, how he goes about, you know, practicing, it's truly special, and you know, you don't see many players that do that. Or so yeah, this past off season where, you know, I got to, you know, work with him and, you know, a few other, you know, big leaguers that came out. You know, it was just a lot of fun to, you know, to pick his brain and, you know, see how he views the game and whatnot. And but I mean, just seeing all that talent, you know, up close and in person, it's definitely, you know, something that a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. And, you know, it definitely translates, you know, onto the field during games and in the season. And you know, as he's had, past 4 or 5 years of, you know, great offensive and defensive numbers. So he's truly a special player.
Yeah, I think this will be the third year he finishes top five in the MVP voting wherever he lands.
Yeah.
So definitely nice to be able to rub shoulders with a guy like that. The thing a lot of people zoom in on when they see you is your swing, and it's unique, but also, you know, very smooth and very attention getting. Do you model your swing, or do you think of yourself as having a swing like another major league player, or do you feel like it is a pretty unique thing?
No, I mean, I've never, you know, been a big guy to watching, videos on player swings or, and all, or trying to manipulate my swing or emulate my swing to another person, but it's kind of just been the swing I've always had my whole life. I think ever since I was like 8 or 9, you know, I've kind of had the same kind of swing path. And obviously, you know, there's some to minor tweaks and the way I, you know, load and you know, prepare for the pitches and all that. But I think, you know, for the most part, it's been the same for throughout my whole life. It's just a matter of getting stronger and, you know, getting smarter at the plate and, you know, trying to, you know, fine tune my approach where, you know, I can get myself the best opportunity to hit the ball hard and, you know, succeed.
All right. Last question. Your name is one that's going to catch some people off guard pronunciation wise. What's the most exotic way? And I say Keston here. I don't know if I'm saying it quite right. You can correct me and tell me the most exotic way you've heard someone say your name.
Let's see. Well, first name, the big go-to is Keston.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't personally get that. We have
I don't either.
Well, last year and this year, you know, I have a teammate called Weston Wilson. So
okay.
Weston is spelled exactly the same way Keston is, except with a W in front of it. And I remember we were in Peoria, and I think Weston was batting before me. And they said, all right, now up to bat, Weston Wilson. And then I come up to the bat, and then now I bat Keston. And I'm like, it's spelled the exact same way, except there's a K instead of a W. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. You know, and then there's also, I guess they explain like how to pronunciate the names, on the papers or when they read it. So I don't know. It's definitely different. You know, I've gotten some Crestons, Castons.
Man, who knew the first name was such a landmine?
Yeah, and then last name wise, I get a lot of Herreras, which I don't get because there's only one R in it. Heroes, Herreras. I don't know. What? I mean, it's definitely, you know, out of the ordinary, a little bit different than what people have seen or been accustomed to. But, you know, I always kind of make a joke of myself when if someone calls me by my first name and they say like Keyston or something else, I won't correct them because I think it's kind of funny. So I kind of let them figure it out on their own. So I've had like a few coaches in the Brewers organization that's called me Keyston before, and it took them a while to figure out that my name's not Keyston, it's Keston. So I kind of have a little fun with it.
Well, I imagine most Brewers fans by now actually know how to say it correctly, and it'll become more commonplace as you rise up the chain here. So thanks for doing this. Good luck going forward. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's all we have today on the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. Again, this podcast brought to you by Century Foods. They are celebrating Milwaukee's run to the pennant, for the pennant, with everybody else here. 65 years of providing Wisconsin families with all their tailgating needs, the best meat in town. Go to Century. Get your food. Be prepared for the tailgating experience that is to come Friday and Saturday at Miller Park. Again, you've got a 7 o'clock first pitch on Friday. It's a 3 o'clock start on Saturday. The Brewers taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw will be starting game one on Friday. I'm guessing you're going to see Walker Buehler, and if not him, maybe Ryu. They've got some great starting pitching. Meanwhile, the Brewers, again, as of Wednesday night, had not yet named their starter. But that's not really as important for the Brewers. They've shown that they can win with a bullpen carrying the bulk of the load. They have a ton of great arms in that bullpen. It's been a sensational postseason so far for them. Josh Hader, Corbin Burns, Corey Knebel have all been outstanding. Jeremy Jeffress has had some hiccups, but you know what he can do based on what he showed you in the regular season. He's an all-star reliever as well, and they've got a couple other guys that are also doing their part. We will certainly be interested to see what becomes of the roster, the 25-man roster. Stay up to date on all that stuff by following Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak and their content at jsonline.com. You can very easily find those guys on Twitter or myself. Again, my name is J.R. Radcliffe, and you can find me at J.R. Radcliffe, J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. We're going to get back in touch with you real soon. Ideally, we're going to do this again after the first two games of the NLCS, come back with another podcast on Sunday so that we can get you caught up on everything you need to know going into the middle part of this NLCS as the teams prepare to return to the West Coast and go to Chavez Ravine and play three games of this series in the home of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you again real soon.